paragraph number 49. It kind of sums up maybe this whole section. He said, let us go forth then, let us go forth to offer everyone the life of Jesus Christ. Here I repeat for the entire church what I have often said to the priests and laity of Buenos Aires. I prefer a church which is bruised, hurting, and dirty because it's been out on the streets, rather than a church which is unhealthy from being confined and from clinging to its own security. I do not want a church concerned about being at the center and then ends up being caught up in a web of obsessions and procedures. If something should rightly disturb us and trouble our consciences, it is the fact that so many of our brothers and sisters are living without the strength, light, and consolation born of friendship with Jesus Christ, without a community of faith to support them, without meaning and goal in life. And community is another aspect of faith that he stresses. It is not, our faith is not just a private affair. More than by fear of going astray, my hope is that we will be moved by the fear of remaining shut up within structures which give us a false sense of security, within rules that make us harsh judges, within habits that make us feel safe, while at our door people are starving, and Jesus does not tire of saying to us, give them something to eat. So, moving on to chapter 3. Now he says, well, how do you do this? Well, how do you get the word out? Well, you do it in word by preaching, and you do it in deed. And as soon as I hear preaching and evangelization, I get nervous. I'm an introvert. I am not one that's going to go up to you on the street corner and say, are you saved? And I just, you know, that's not me. So this kind of stuff makes me a little nervous. But he has such an engaging way, I keep reading and say, oh, okay. He says, we need to proclaim the gospel both in word and example. And he has a great section on how the priest should prepare and deliver his homily. But I'll leave that to the priest to read that part. And we'll stick with the rest of it. The Pope also asks something of us. Not that we all become extroverts or attack people with something they don't want and aren't ready for. He does make a point that everyone yearns for the joy the gospel offers. But we have to present it in a way that allows them to see the joy. If they see a lot of rules and restrictions, why would they want it? They have to see the reason. We have to learn how to portray the beauty of God's message in word and action. I remember hearing a priest say that his whole focus in preaching was to make God look beautiful to people, not to make God look beautiful, but that people could see the beauty of God. And I thought, wow, and that was such a unique expression when I heard it. And this is basically what the Pope is saying. People have to see our joy and hear of God's saving love for them. They need hope and encouragement. They will begin to understand why we do not accept everything our society accepts if they can see our joy. We have to be facilitators, not toll houses. He was talking about baptism. And he said, it's not a reward for good deeds that we need to facilitate God's grace. We need to get out the essential message and to bring people along gradually. And then, you know, just about when I'm thinking, well, that's great for you. You've got this kind of personality that can do this. He gives a description of what he means. He says, in this preaching, which is always respectful and gentle, and he talks about being one-on-one and responding to the other person's expression of where they are, not you know, jumping in with our ideas. He said the first step is personal dialogue when another person speaks and shares his or her joys, hopes, and concerns for loved ones or so many other heartfelt needs. Only afterwards is it possible to bring up God's word. Perhaps by reading a Bible verse or relating a story, but always keeping in mind the fundamental message, the personal love of God who became man, who gave himself up for us, who is living, and who offers us his salvation and his friendship. This message has to be shared humbly as a testimony on the part of the one who's always willing to learn. In the awareness that the message is so rich and so deep that it always exceeds our grasp. At times the message can be presented directly and at times by way of personal witness or gesture, or in a way which the Holy Spirit may suggest in that particular situation. If it seems prudent, and if the circumstances are right, this fraternal and missionary encounter could end with a brief prayer related to the concerns which the person may have expressed. In this way, they will have an experience of being listened to and understood. They will know that their particular situation has been placed before God and that God's word really speaks in their lives. After talking about preaching and talking about God's word, we also have to show it in action. You know, we not only talk the talk, we have to walk the walk. He uses scripture quotes such as the second great commandment, to love our neighbors ourselves, or the criteria of the final judgment, what you did to the least of my brothers and sisters, you do to me, to demonstrate that we need to be disciples in action. We need to show love by helping the poor. He describes many problems in the world today and explains it's not enough to help a poor person directly. You know, there's that saying that you give a person a fish and they eat for today, you teach them how to fish and they can eat for a lifetime. He says we have to work on social systems that keep putting down the poor. We say the rich keep getting richer and the poor keep getting poorer, but why is that? And he goes through a whole list of things. He says, society is sick. We need to attack the structural causes of inequality. The dignity of person and common good should shape our economic policies. There needs to be better distribution of goods beyond welfare. A church community that talks about the poor but doesn't reach out to help can drift into spiritual worldliness, camouflaged by religious practices, unproductive meetings, and empty talk. And we've all experienced unproductive meetings. Jesus wants to help the vulnerable, but our emphasis on success and self-reliance works against us. Is that true? Yeah, it's back to that thing again of thinking we have to do it all. He talks about new forms of poverty. There's the homeless, the addicted, refugees, indigenous peoples, elderly, migrants. Talks about the dignity of life that needs to be upheld, the problems of human trafficking, abusing women, taking the life of the unborn. And then he talks about how creation is exploited. He goes through all these problems in society that are part of the gospel message. He says our society in some ways is organized in a way that makes the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And it's those structures that we need to work on. He asks us to get involved, to work to form a social system that allows everyone to achieve their basic human rights to food, education, employment, opportunities, and health care, etc. And he talks of, and again, I'm saying, I'm not a social activist. It's just not my personality. I'm not going to get out there waving banners. And then he says, it's not about that. It's about being 11. You know, kind of being who you are, where you are. Leaven, you know, is a yeast cell. And when you take yeast and you put it in the dough, what makes it work? It's all these cells spread out in the dough give off carbon dioxide. And each cell giving off just a little bubble of carbon dioxide makes that dough rise and you get nice fluffy bread. Well, if each of us just did our own little thing where we are as true Christians, we'd have a huge result. And you know, those yeast cells can't look, well, they can't look around, but if they could look around, they'd feel like, I'm not doing much, I'm just making a tiny bubble. But all of them making a tiny bubble makes a big difference. And that's what he's talking about. We have to be a community that acts. So leaven or yeast acts very quietly, but it takes a lot of yeast cells acting to generate enough bubbles in the dough to make it rise. For God's word and love to permeate the world, it takes all of us working together. Jesus did not tell the apostles to form an exclusive and elite group. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. And to those who feel far from God in the church, to all those who are fearful or indifferent, I would like to say this, and this is the Pope's words. The Lord, with great respect and love, is calling you to be a part of his people. That's the message. And then at the end, he talks about sort of the spirituality of it. He said, and then he ends up saying that the person on the street when they hear Catholic Church should be able to say that being church means being God's people. The church is a place of mercy freely given, where everyone can feel welcomed, loved, forgiven, and encouraged to live the good life of the gospel. That it's a church that reaches out to everyone in need. He says Christians are to be missionary disciples. And if we're not convinced, let us look at the first disciples who immediately, after encountering the gaze of Jesus, went forth to proclaim him joyfully. The Samaritan woman. We have found the Messiah. She became a missionary immediately after speaking with Jesus, and many Samaritans came to believe because of the woman's testimony. And so too, St. Paul, after his encounter with Jesus Christ, immediately proclaimed Jesus. So what are we waiting for? So I'm going to give you I'll give you a little more time to read the second half. Okay, so these are reflections on chapter 3. And I said I was going to leave out the part about the homily, but there is a paragraph in there where he talks about, in preparation of a homily, reflecting on Scripture. And what he says is helpful to anybody reflecting on Scripture. The reflection questions are in the middle of the page. How comfortable am I sharing my own story of God's love with others? How can we become more comfortable praying with others? Do our parish ministries exist simply to get a job done or to evangelize? What are we doing? It's like the person at the Space Center who was asked, what is your job here? He was sweeping the floor, and he said, my job is to get a man on the moon. He didn't say, I'm the janitor. It's how we look at what we're doing that makes all the difference. In chapter 4, the reflection question is, in light of the above, what is your response to those who say religion is only a private affair and exists only to prepare souls for heaven? And how is the church working to remove structural causes of poverty, and how can our parish or group participate in this effort? And then the last chapter, have I made a personal decision to become an evangelist? If not, what stands in my way? Go back and look at chapter 2 and all those challenges. If so, who can I bring along with me to lighten the load of this joyful task? A lot of times, when Jesus sent out the disciples, he sent them out in pairs. And also being part of a community strengthens us, or it should. Okay.